Empire Broadcasting presents the Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Good afternoon and welcome to Empire Broadcasting. I'm your host, Muriel Donnelly, and this afternoon we have a wonderful guest with us. She is a child psychologist. She's also the owner at Blossom Hole Family Therapy and Child Psychology Center from Minnetonka, Minnesota. Welcome to the show, Gretchen Lewis Snyder.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Wonderful. Welcome to the show, Gretchen. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Excellent.
Getting ready for the snowstorm.
Oh, really? Oh, dear.
Yes.
How much are you guys expecting?
I think about a foot.
I have to say, I love snow, but I don't like shoveling it, and I don't like being, barricaded into the home. So maybe
right.
if the snow can just wait off another week until school's over, that would be fine. And so what I wanted to do right now, Gretchen, is basically give our listeners out there a little insight into who you are and a little insight into how Blossom Hole Family Therapy was formed, how you started this company. So give us a little insight into how this all began, Gretchen.
Sure. Well, I have always been interested in the helping professions. Even in high school, I actually worked in a group home for adults that were mentally retarded. And so I just have always, that's just always where I've been drawn, is to the helping professions. And so I eventually ended up in graduate school because I had gone to one of my professors and said, I don't know what this job is called, but I want to work with kids and I want to work with families, and I really I like the education system. And so he said, well, you know, maybe school psychology or school social work is for you. And so I settled on school psychology and went to graduate school. And then as I was getting into that training and kind of looking at career options, I had decided pretty early that I wanted to be a licensed psychologist, because it's a different license to practice in the schools than it is to practice in private practice, and so I wanted to be able to do both. And so I just, you know, finished that process and did all the training and the internships and got all the supervision that I needed and got licensed, and then, you know, worked some very interesting jobs. I was a school psychologist at a high school, and I have done intensive behavior therapy for children on the autism spectrum. And there just was something about, there were ways that I wanted to be able to practice and work with kids and work with families that I never felt like I could do quite the way I wanted to do when I was working for other people. And so I decided to take the risk and go into private practice and start my own practice. And so I started actually just as a solo practitioner in private practice, focused exclusively on children and teenagers, and, you know, was able to kind of build that up and have a pretty solid referral base. But what I was realizing is that it really was the full family system that needed support. And I coordinated with other psychologists, family couples, psychologists in the community, with good results, and was really recognizing the value in that. And also, practicing and having a business totally by yourself is isolating, and I just realized I wanted closer collegial connections. And so I decided to, it was just time to kind of broaden the vision of the practice. And so I brought on additional therapists that, so I've got one additional therapist she's a developmentalist and works really well with families of young children and younger school-age children. And then I brought in another therapist who's really phenomenal with teens and does a great job with the teenagers that are struggling with depression and, you know, the self-harm kinds of things. And then I brought on a therapist who's really good with couples and families, and also some working with older kids on the spectrum. And then another therapist who is really just adult-focused, just in recognition that, you know, for parents, when you have a child that's got, you know, emotional behavioral concerns going on, it takes, you know, it impacts you as a parent. And the experiences you had as a child, you know, growing up and being parented really influenced the way in which, for all of us, the way in which we parent. And it can be really, really useful to understand the way in which our child's behavior is as much about what we have going on personally as it is about what's going on with the child. And so I love the team that has come together. There's such good synergy and chemistry between us, and I'm just really excited with what the future holds for us.
Wonderful. That's great, and I think it's fantastic how, even though you're focusing on like the children and the adolescents and teens, et cetera, how there is that support system there for the parents as well. Because I think a lot of the times, like parents in general, we don't understand sometimes our habits, our thought process, et cetera. But sometimes the way we deal things and the way we do things is basically a reflection of how we grew up as children and how we were brought up. And I think sometimes we need to be able to take ourselves out of the box and look in and realize that, you know, everything around kids affects us. And I've done this so many times where I've listened to people and they've told us that a lot of the times parents emulate their parents and they don't want to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many times? I mean, I think there's many people who remember saying, oh, when I'm a parent, I'm never going to say that to my kid. I'm never going to do that. And then it's like you're having this out-of-body experience, and you're watching yourself do the things that you swore you were never going to do, and it's like this really bizarre kind of experience. Like, oh, it's almost hard to stop yourself. It's like you can see it, and you observe it, and you're recognizing it happening, but it's so automatic and so ingrained that it's just like it's just coming out. And that's just such a common experience for many, many parents.
Absolutely. Now, with yourselves, I mean, obviously you do the whole spectrum from the kids all the way down to the parents, etc. What I'm trying to think now is let's talk a little bit about the parenting, because that's very important. And especially if you've got children who do have issues, etc. What is it? What kind of things do you deal with when it comes to parenting? How do you help the parents? Yeah. What are you looking at?
Well, a lot of it is educational. I provide a lot of education, starting with just a discussion about, you know, their particular child's temperament, because most parents that have more than one child will be able to say with absolute certainty that, you know, their kids were different, and often, sometimes even in utero, there were significant differences, but certainly from birth forward, that temperament piece is so important to really understand that it's not always about what you're doing as a parent. It's how what you're doing is interacting with the temperament of the child you have, and the need to kind of understand the child that you have and how what worked with your older three children isn't really effective for your fourth child because they are such a different child. And so it's not that the strategies you're using aren't good strategies. Or oftentimes when I'm working with parents, they're really fine strategies. It's not that. It's that they're not the match for their child. And so we spend a lot of time talking about that and understanding, you know, what are things that they've done in the past, how has the child reacted to that, and just so that we really get an understanding about that particular child. And then we start to come up with what sorts of parenting approaches are going to be more effective for this particular child. And that's a lot of, I mean, that all by itself is quite a lot of work. And for some parents, that's enough to kind of get that understanding, and then to get the new strategies is enough. For some parents, though, it's hard for them to kind of get up and over the hump. And this is where I'm so excited to have the whole family piece, because that is also a reality that sometimes we can recognize intellectually that there are things that we need to do differently, but there's something holding us back. There's something that stops us from being able to actually do it when the time when it's time to do it. And so that's more work that the parent then can do with some of our other therapists. So.
Right. Now, what kinds of issues are these parents dealing with? What kind of issues do these children have? These, you know, what kind of issues are they facing?
Well, really a variety. I see a lot of kids that are struggling with one form of anxiety or another. I would say right now, and really for the 7 years I've been in my solo practice, that has hands down been the most common referral concern is anxiety. And it can range from a generalized anxiety. So, you know, given any, you know, in any given situation, the child can think of seven things to worry about that particular situation. And it will be different, you know, the next situation, they'll find seven more new things to worry about in that situation. So kind of that generalized type of anxiety. Sometimes it's specific phobias that are such that it's really getting in the way of their life, but also in the way of family functioning. Sometimes with phobias, the fear can be so strong and the child's reaction to the situation can be so strong that it really can be disruptive for the entire family system. And so families find themselves, they can't go out to eat because the child is afraid that somebody in the restaurant is going to get sick. And so therefore, you know, they can't go in that restaurant, they can't go out to eat, you know, or the child can't have sleepovers because the separation anxiety is so strong. Or, you know, there's just many, sometimes it's school refusal, again, which is often a phobia-based issue. There's some fear about being in the school environment that is so strong that they resist and avoid going at all costs. And they can, they react with that fight, flight, or freeze kind of response. And so sometimes the concern coming in, what they name, is oppositional and defiant behavior. But you get into what's really going on, and sure enough, there is some underlying fear that's driving that child's behavior. And understanding that totally changes how you parent. You know, it's very different to parent a child who's reacting out of fear than it is a child who's acting out of defiance for the sake of defiance. So those are, I mean, hands down, definitely. But also I see kids who have problems with anger management, impulse control, sometimes to the level of ADHD, sometimes kind of subclinical in that regard, mood sorts of things, depression. I see a lot of those would be the most common referrals.
Right. Okay. All right, well, we have to go to a very, very quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. But our guest this afternoon is the wonderful Gretchen Lewis Schneider. Please go and have a look at her website. It's www.blossomwholefamilytherapy.com. Alternatively, you can give her a call at 952-545-3300 or pop her an email at glewis-schneider, S-N-Y-D-E-R, at blossommpls.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back very shortly.
Do you think you could share a free ebook called Viral Attraction Marketing Secrets? If you had proof, it would build an active team under you before you had to pay to join a great company? I'm Christy Sales, offering you the chance to see this system works. Download your free ebook now at icanmakecash.com. We have high-demand products and a spotless reputation for paying every week. ICanMakeCash.com.
Have you been injured in an auto accident and need transportation to and from your medical appointments? KMW Transportation is located and services the Metro Detroit area. Owned and operated by Shaquana Ford, KMW Transportation Company provides reliable, affordable service guaranteed to get you to and from your destinations on time in a clean and smooth and safe manner. Do you need to get up and go? Call for your car service directly at 313-293-0234. Or by email at quantamarie2015@gmail.com. That's 313-293-0234 or QUANA Marie 2015. empirebroadcasting@gmail.com.
Empire Broadcasting presents the Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Empire Broadcasting. I'm your host, Muriel Donnelly, and this afternoon we have the wonderful Gretchen Lewis Snyder with us. Welcome back to the show, Gretchen.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Now, before our little break there, we were just talking about some of the issues that the children and teens that come to you have. And, you know, we've gone through a few of them, and it's anxiety, anger management, depression, etc. And we've talked vaguely about, you know, how the parents, what they can do to help. Stress management, that's a big thing that you guys deal with over there. How can we deal with our stress? How can we keep it under control? What do you guys help your clients, to patients do?
Yeah, I mean, stress is such a big issue. And, you know, we, the foundation of what we do, it's called cognitive behavioral therapy, which is kind of a mouthful, just to say, you know, the way in which we think about the situations that we're in and the things that we do in that situation, they interact with each other and impact how we feel. So the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we act all influence each other and influence the outcome often of the situation. And so the therapy is really about understanding that interaction and also understanding how sometimes the way in which we're thinking about a situation is not helpful and actually can be interfering with our ability to handle the situation effectively. So I always think about, I make this series of T graphs on my whiteboard, and I talk about, you know, think about a situation that stresses you out, and think about what are the facts in that situation, and then think about what are you guessing about. And most of the time, when people are stressing out, they are focused on what they're guessing is going to happen in the future, speculation. They're not focused on the facts, but what happens when you refocus your attention on the facts and you really think through what you know to be true in the situation is that stress almost immediately starts to come down because you aren't in this land of speculation and catastrophizing and worst-case scenario. And then I do the next one, thinking about, okay, so now what are the things that you have some control over? And then what are the things over which you do not have control? And again, when people are stressed, guess where their attention is focused? Their attention is focused on what they can't control. We're trying to figure out how to control what they can't control. And that does not feel good. But when you shift your attention back to the things that are in your control, it feels much better because now you're thinking about, okay, here's what I know to be true, and here's what I can do. Here's what I can do to best respond in this situation. I can't change what the situation is, but I can really think through and have a good response to the situation. And then lastly, I have people think about, you know, is this a solvable problem? And if it is, that's great. Go ahead and solve the problem. Sometimes people sit and spin and sort of admire the problem and how, you know, horrible it is. They never really get around to the actual solving of the problem. But when they do, it feels better. They start to feel better. Their anxiety goes down. Their stress goes down. Sometimes we're in situations, it's not a solvable problem. The situation is what it is. And in those situations, the best thing we can do is learn how to accept that that is the reality and find ways to let it go and move on. And so we spend a lot of time, obviously, in each of those things, and there's a lot of opportunities to practice thinking in those different ways. But in a nutshell, that covers a lot of ground.
Right. And this is where building resilience comes in, and this is what you help with.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, really, with every child that comes in, that's always what I'm thinking about, is anxiety. You know, they're coming in because anxiety is causing a problem, but the reality is that anxiety is a healthy, all of our emotions are healthy emotions. We need them. They're important. They serve a function. Anxiety's function is to protect us and help us prepare. So the goal is never to get rid of anxiety. The goal is to be resilient so that we are doing what we need to do in order to prepare for, you know, whatever the situation is. But then also when stressful life events happen, that we can be responsive in a healthy way, and it doesn't have to send us into this crisis mode. That we have the internal resources to be able to handle that, to be able to reach out to our social connections and use our support systems to be able to respond and be in that situation in a healthy kind of a way. And it's, you know, that's always kind of what I think about big picture. Resilience is kind of, to me, it's a big picture concept.
Right. And just listening to what you're saying right now, Gretchen, I'm thinking to myself, it sounds almost like a tool you can take through life. And it's a shame that maybe, you know, two or three generations before, this wasn't available, because I feel like this whole topic of being able to go and find help, you know, for any concerns that you have, had a taboo connotation to it. But I feel like had this been accepted more, then mm-hmm. the generations prior to us would have been able to be resilient. They would have that tool, mm-hmm. you know, to deal with the situations, and therefore, to some degree, not pass on that baggage and anxiety to the next generation. Does that make sense at all?
Yes, I totally agree with you. Yes. And I, you know, it's very interesting. And I think there are cultural differences, mm-hmm. you know, in different parts of the country, and even different parts of Minnesota, I think. Where I'm located, which is kind of the west suburbs, part of the anxiety that I see a lot with kids is a fear of failure. I mean, ultimately, when you boil it all down, there can be this fear of failure. And from that, you have these, you know, kids that are so intent on doing things perfectly. And, you know, it's like this rabbit hole that they go. It's so unproductive to have that fear. And you know, when you think about building resilience, not being afraid to fail is really critical to that. Having enough worry to prepare and be able to handle if that happens, but not being afraid of that happening is really important, because what happens is that people then sort of paint themselves into a corner. They maybe don't take the risk, or they don't put themselves out there because they're afraid in some way, shape, or form that they're going to fail, and somehow that failure is bad. And that, again, like that whole thinking, you know, how they're thinking, what their mindset is about failure is really important.
Absolutely, and it's so funny because you just hit the nail on the head. With my oldest, he's going to be 9 next week, and he is such a big, strong boy. And mm-hmm. but he is just he's a big softy, really. He's just a very soft mm-hmm. kid emotionally, you know, mm-hmm. he's a sweetie. And when he's playing certain things, because he's smart, he's so aware of his surroundings that sometimes when he's doing a certain sport, I know he's not giving 100%, because I think then in the back of his mind, he's like, well, you know what? If I give 100% and I'm not as good as the kids next to me, that proves that I'm just not good. But if I only give 70%, I always have that thought or that idea to fall back on. Well, you know what? I only gave it 70%, you know? And mm-hmm. and I see it sometimes, and I'm like, well, you know what? I'm not going to push it or et cetera, because enjoy being a kid. But mm-hmm. that's something that is, I feel like, within our society, where we grow up, etc., there are so many, as you say, this fear of failure. And I think parents are equally to blame, if not mostly to blame, because of the pressure that they put on the kids to be successful at various different sports and activities. And now what that happens is, when you've got one kid who sees or hears another parent saying or doing something, now they bring that home. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Well, and I think the other way this can go is that parents are so afraid of their child failing and the pain that their child might experience as a result of that pain, they set it up such that their child never has to experience it. And that's a problem because there's so much that we learn, vital life lessons that we learn from failure, that you can't, you really are inhibiting growth when you're being so protective that you don't allow them to fail.
Right, because basically at some stage when they're adults, they're going to inevitably fail at something. What happens? How do they deal with it then? Then it's a much bigger problem because they're not resilient to it and they don't have that tool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, we've only got a couple of minutes left here, Gretchen. Do you have any closing thoughts or for our listeners out there?
Well, you know, I think I always go back to just really think about, if you are noticing things about your child or have concerns about your child, I mean, really take a step back. I wrote a blog post a few weeks ago, What Do I Do When? Was the title. It just depends. It depends on, there's no one answer. If your child is anxious, there's no one answer for what to do. It depends, you know. And really take the time to take a step back and understand who your child is and what it is that led to the place that you're at now. Because when you do that, when you're able to kind of take a step back and really allow yourself to open up and think about it in a really honest way, oftentimes the answer for what do I do when becomes really clear. And you at least are able to see a path. Now, sometimes it's, you know, you can see the path, but you're not really sure how to walk it. And so, you know, there are people out there. That's part of what I do, is help people find their way, you know, on that path. And not to be afraid to do that if that is, in fact, what you, your family, your child needs to do.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much, Gretchen. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on our show this afternoon. For all our listeners out there, absolutely. Our guest this afternoon is Gretchen Lewis-Snyder. She is basically from Minnetonka. I have to say this, Minnetonka, Minnesota. And I love it. And she is a child psychologist and the owner of Blossom Hole Family Therapy and Child Psychology Center. The website is www.blossomholefamilytherapy.com. You can send her an email at www.blossomholefamily.com. And there I go. I repeat myself. The email address is glewis_snyder@blossommpls.com. Alternatively, you can give them a call at 952-545-3300. Again, thank you so very much for being on our show this afternoon, and we sincerely hope that we can have you back in the very near future.
Thank you, Meryl. Take care.
Empire Broadcasting presents the Professionals Roundtable with Muriel Donnelly, 9 to 2 p.m. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable, 9 to 2 p.m. exclusively on Empire Broadcasting.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now Mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops, the rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.